Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And I think it's a time to thank Matthias Angala. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop. This is your economic conversational program. We are here from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. And wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you, and we are always very happy, particularly when we are communicating, and connecting at this frequency, Eagle FM Namibia, your favorite and number one talk radio station. And this is the time that we discuss what is happening, particularly in the area of governance, economics, development, issues of policies, and issues of national and international development. Just before we go in, sorry, it's very important to make sure that, you focus on the game. Wake up and focus on the game. Focus on the future. Focus on what you can do, what things that you can control, and also things that, that are out of your control. Because when you understand the difference, it's easier for you to make choices, and also it's easier for you to move forward in life, and also to face also challenges, and motivating each other should be at the center of human interaction, because in the situation that we are living, especially as in Namibia, you need to understand that in the situation that you are, there is somebody who wants to be like you, because when you look at the way we are standing in terms of the world, we are standing at a difficult position. Although we may look like we are doing very well, we are not well in terms of economy, we are not well pocket-wise, we are not well in terms of our national achievement. There is a lot of things that need to be done, but appreciating and also motivating each other and also assisting one another in this difficult economy, so that we can move together, focusing on our African proverb, which says, if you want to move far, we must, go together. But if you just want to move fast, you can go alone. Yeah, it's the 18th of August, 2025. We are moving toward the end of 2025, and a lot of things are happening, particularly in terms of governance, in terms of economy. There is SADC summit in Madagascar, and just a historical moment in the history of the world, where Putin, after 6 years, Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, they met once again to discuss the future of global peace and also cooperation. And it's very interesting also to know what are some of the things which were discussed by this most powerful men in terms of global leadership, leading powerful nations in terms of economy, politics, and military. And it was very interesting also to see what was discussed there. But before we go to the conversations that we have for today, before you go to the conversation that we have for today, sorry, it's very crucial to understand that bringing about topics and conversation at Early Morning Scoop is not a one-directed conversation. That's why we are always encouraging constructive engagement. We are always encouraging critical assessment. We are always encouraging, constructive criticism, and also looking at views and opinions of others, particularly when it's coming to issues of national development, issues of looking at priority areas, and also issues of SME development. As those are central to our discussions. Those are central to discussions at Early Morning Scoop. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's a time to look at policy issues and also to ask questions, to say, where are we as a country? Where have we been? What are some of the changes that we have done? What are institutions of governance are saying in Namibia? What is the state of our SOEs? What is the state of our government institutions, and also how is private sector and also ordinary citizens participate to national development, And it's always very crucial also to look at the strength and also the weakness of our institution, because the aim is only one. The aim is only one. It's also to see Namibia reaching its national goal. It is also to see citizens also changing in terms of their ways of thinking, their participation in the economy, the sharing of information and data, and also the appreciation of, you know, contributing to national development, and also to create a strong foundation for the generation which will come, you know, after us, because it's always very important also to develop that visionary thinking, not only to think about ourselves, but also to think about the legacy that we are going to live in, because the very interesting fact is that you are not here forever, and we are not here forever, and in the next 100 years, there will be another generation which will be here, and the question will be, what have you done when you get that opportunity? What have you done when you get that opportunity to be on earth, when you get that opportunity to do some work? You are here, you are healthy, you have capacity and energy, you are just dancing around, or you at least did something that you live to say, this is a standing building, this is a business I have built, this is what I have done in the history books, and also this is what I have done for my community. Not really to be put in the history books, but at least to do something. Yeah, before we go to the conversation, we are always indicating to you that follow us at all our social media platform. Follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook. Follow us on X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Because when you do that, you have access to your economic data. You have access to your governance conversation. You have access to international trade news, you have access to sport news, you have access to news on food security, and you have access to data related to regional integration, development, policy alignment, and also financial institutions. So do that. When you do that, you can also, you also have, when you follow us, those who follow you can also be able to follow us. And they will not be left out, particularly when it's coming to conversation of business, conversation of economics, conversation of governance, and conversation of issues of bread and butter. Yeah, apart from that, you can also subscribe to the Villager newspaper. You can also like the page of the Villager newspaper. That is our e-paper. It's an e-paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And when you like that page, like the Villager newspaper, you can also, you'll be able to have access to every Monday economic paper, every Wednesday economic paper, and also every Friday economic paper. That is the Villager newspaper. And you can also subscribe by sending your name to this number, 081-241-44, 081-241-44. Send your name to that number, save that number, and every Monday, every morning, every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and every Friday morning, you will be able to receive the copy of the Villager newspaper. Interestingly, we have Eagle FM app. We have Eagle FM app that is functional, working, and you can connect with us. If you are not able to reach us at our frequency, download Eagle FM app, go to Play Store, go to App Store, download Eagle FM app. Then you can be able to have that opportunity to listen to the programs which are on air, and also to listen to the previous program by looking at the podcast. Look at the podcast. That is our open archive. Then you can be able to listen to the previous programs. So access, you know, Eagle FM app, and it's more easier to use because you don't only use it when you are in Namibia, but wherever you find yourself, its operational mechanism is the same as WhatsApp. And it's an app that will assist you just using your phone. Very fast, easy. And you have to join the conversation and participate in economic discussion, economic conversation, and economic talks. Yeah, You can also follow us online. You can also follow us online. Just write in or type in Ikel FM Namibia, press home, then you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and also to the previous program through a podcast. And interestingly, that is the only way you can also get access to the podcast. And in a situation that you were busy when that program was being played, you can go to podcast, then you check on what date, at what time, by who, then you can listen at your own time, at your own pace. Yeah, last, before we go to the conversation for today, sorrow is very important also, very important to familiarize yourself with the world of digitalization, particularly when you look at our app, Imba app, that is a digital version of a hymn book that you can have access to in various Namibian languages. You have English, Oshuambo, that is a Hangano, you have Ocherero, Maimburiro, you have Afrikaans, you have Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So download Imba app, download Imba app, so that you can make your life easier in a situation you find yourself at a place where you are required to sing from a hymn book. Just download Imba app, and you don't need to worry about not having a hard copy, because the world is moving very fast. The world is moving very fast toward digitalization, and familiarizing yourself with this app will make your life more easier. And yeah, you can also talk to our marketing team. Talk to our marketing team, so that you can advertise with us either through live programs, or you can also advertise with us through our the Villager newspaper. And buy a time, then you can have access to large numbers of clients, because money spent on advertisement is money on the way to come. It's money yet to come. And just do that, and you have greater coverage, and you have access to large number of your clients and potential clients. So talk to us, talk to the marketing team, then you boost your business revenue just by investing in that advertisement. So dear listeners, let's go to a commercial break, then we'll look at what is happening around before we go to the conversation for today. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8 o'clock.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming, or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we...
Yes, we are continuing with our program, Early Morning Scoop, with me, David Shombe. And historical events are happening, which are defining the present and the future of the globe, and also where we are facing as the generation, and as where we are facing. And as they say, in the world of international relations, there is no permanent friends or permanent enemies. There is just permanent interest, and allies become foes, and also foes become allies. And it depends on the interest those global players in international relations play. Different interests depends on the interest that they have. And just on Friday, unexpected things happen, particularly when, history was made where Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, that is the president of Russia and the president of the United States of America, they met in Alaska to discuss about Ukraine issues of trade, and also issues of cooperation between two countries. And it was very interesting also to see the world's most powerful men working together, and also things that you do not expect, because when you look at what had been happening prior to that, a lot of people were dying, and they are still dying actually, when Russia invaded Ukraine, and also Ukraine being supported by United States of America, and a lot of things have been happening, particularly when it's coming to the destruction of Ukraine. And these two gentlemen, decided to come and stand together. They even took a lift together. Putin, the KGB men, landed in Alaska. And they were hugging each other with Donald Trump. Went to Donald Trump limousine, known as the Beast, one of the most advanced presidential car in America. Went to the Beast and traveled to a conference center where they have to negotiate and also discuss about particularly central discussion on Ukraine issue. And it's also very important to listen to what Putin has to say and what Trump has to say. But for now, let's go to a commercial break.
Oma penda furegetu oganya nyere omore konjero manguruko monina agasimane kaihe pakunya nyera onjira dagamina ninga ehogororo jupenda ngabeka ondapo omata ayera nagapame no madira dira ogaera nongere tohingi waliko hiyodungo imangeramo etokara watonata ongwe omutona terigonjo konona yawo esikundika jomapenda fure omahogororo goye nagerekere upenda wawo kara ependa jasha siku ninga shoka shomojira etokupita omwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience.
Yeah, and for those of you who follow international politics, Russia and US, they are rebuilding their relationships. And what you need to know is also that the president of Russia has also realized that the economy of Russia is also not doing well. There is a lot of economic sanctions from Europe and also the US. And, he came to negotiate for himself and also to look at the future of Russia and the future of the economy. And this is one of the very historic moments. You see Putin calling Trump the neighbor, And he was even speaking in English there. And one of the things that you need to look is also that Russia realized also to say, country like China is advancing, because when people are fighting, China is building. China for many years never involved in war, in direct war. But he realized to say, these two countries are also at the edge of losing their international influence in terms of economic influence to China and also India. That's why these men have to sit, regardless of what the president of Ukraine is saying. The president of Ukraine is saying these two men, they meet and look at the interest of their countries, because Russia and Ukraine, as far as they fight, they have more to share than the rest of the world. And what is very interesting is also that Putin was very clear about what he wants, especially where the position of Russia is in terms of Ukraine, to say, we are going to do this, we are going to stop war as long as Ukraine is not joining NATO. As long as Ukraine is not joining NATO, he was very clear. He was very clear about that. And that was one of the points that were, you know, that were mentioned. And also Trump himself, he's trying to play as a negotiator. I look like he do not know what he's doing, but he's a man of great influence, and he also very clear about the position that he has. But it's very interesting, and I think these are some of the things that we also need to go deep into in a later stage, especially when I'm going to engage, you know, a geopolitical analyst, Francine Nguera, just also to help us unpack this at in the near future. Deep in the program, just to help us to say what are some of the situations which will, you know, arise. Are we going to fight the deal, or is just countries trying to find their positions in the world? But yeah, that was one of the case in a geopolitical news. It's also very important also to listen to what is that these two presidents have to say.
I think that is very neighborly, close neighbors. I would like to thank once again my American counterpart for the proposal to travel out here to Alaska. It only makes sense that we've met here, because our countries, though separated by the oceans, are close neighbors. So when we've met, when I came out of the plane and I've said, good afternoon, dear neighbor. Very good to see you in good health and to see you alive. I think that is very neighborly. And I think that's some kind words that we can say to each other. We're separated by the Strait of Bering, though there are two islands only between the Russian island and the U.S. island. They're only 4 kilometers apart. We're close neighbors, and it's a fact. It's also important that Alaska has to do with our common heritage, common history between Russia and the U.S., and many positive events have to do with that territory. Still, there is tremendous cultural heritage back from the Russian America. For example, Orthodox churches and a lot of...
Yeah, that was part of what Putin has to say. It was one part of what Putin has to say. And he indicated actually to say Russia and the USA. When you look at the geographical area of, or the geographical map, you realize to say in the context that the world is round, Russia is actually a neighbor of the United States of America. They are neighbors. And, when he came from the plane, he stated to say he greeted Trump to say, good afternoon, neighbor. Good to see you again. And Trump is also, you know, a very interesting guy. He's a very interesting man also to see. I think is what we need to learn from this, what we need to learn from, the thing that we need to learn is that civilized nations, civilized people, there's blood in Ukraine now, but after every war, people have to come and sit on the table to say, gents, what can we do? And they're also negotiating for the future of their people to say, even if I'm military powerful, what about our my business interest? Because if you look at how many business interests the Russian people lost, the Russian business people, the so-called oligarchs lost, it's a huge amount of money frozen in US accounts. I'm a good fan of Chelsea. And we know what happened to Chelsea when, Abramovich has to sell the team, and the way how Chelsea is performing these days, I think it's now improving. But you have to understand to say the politics has an impact on everything that we do, has an impact on everything that we do, everything that we eat. And also understand to say, if these are happening to countries like Russia and United States of America, who are seen as world most, enemies, irreconcilable enemies, what about you? Because it does not need to do with the nation. It also has to do with the person to say, am I willing to sit with the person who I think I hate just to speak to say, no, man, I think there are things that we need to negotiate on. There are things that here we need to speak on. And there are also things that here we need to, that we need to work out on. Just imagine you fought with somebody at university, for example. Then you become fierce enemy. I don't know what happened to you, and you hate each other. You insult each other on Facebook or whatsoever. But after a few days, this person is sitting at the admission of a private school that you want your kid to be admitted to. Are you really just going to look for another school if you believe in the quality of that school, rather than sorting the issues with that person? Because you have to go through that person. Either to take your document or to throw it away, but you have to sit and say, look, that time we were very young. That thing have happened, but let us look at the future. What can we do? Your school want the client. I want my kid to be taught, but we are standing on the way. Can we negotiate and solve these issues? Because after every fight, you have to come and sit on the table to see how I'm going to work together with this person. Because those are some of the lessons that we need to learn to. And I think Putin taking that risk, and you also need to look at the escort that he got, particularly from, there are a lot of private jet, fighter jets escorting his plane. But taking that risk to come and say, no, let's come and sit and talk. I think it's another aspect of diplomacy that we need to learn from. And a practical diplomacy to say, we can't just talk via the phone and insult each other and sending each other bombs and all those things. But it's time to speak and also deal with issues. And I think it's also time to look at the experts in geopolitics to come and analyze these issues. Looking forward, I think it's time. Let's look at what Francine Engra has to say. Look at those who dig deep into the geopolitical history of the world, and also lesson we can learn from here. Particularly when you come to deal with people that with your, either deal with your neighbors or your political, enemies.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next...
As I indicated earlier, looking at the issue of Russia and US, we got into the conversation with those who dig deep into the issue, and I'm in communication with Francis Nengera. Mr. Franz, good morning, and how are you doing?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, let us look at the historical event which happened, particularly between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. What are some of your key takeaways from here, and how is the future looking like, particularly with Ukraine and also with the world? Then before you come to our economy itself, what are some of the key takeaways from this meeting?
Okay, one, it's a double.
Sorry, I'm not hearing you. May you please speak up? I'm not hearing you well. Okay.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah. Just speak up a little bit.
Okay. So it's a double-edged sword. What happened on Friday.
Yeah.
From a diplomatic standpoint, that is a victory of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's victory of both Trump and Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump has managed to do what Biden could not do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Trump understands how power works.
Okay.
And you see, something that Biden did not want to understand. Biden and Obama, they were trying to really get Russia to just be a regional power.
Mm-hmm.
Which was practically impossible, and it was practically dangerous. Yeah, but then, you see, Trump seems to know that Russia is an equal power to the United States. So, and it also seems to understand that pressure will just, you know, escalate things, because Russia is a military power.
Yeah.
And Trump understands as an economic, you know, as a seasoned economic person. Trump is, we shouldn't forget that he's, apart from him being a president, he is a seasoned business person.
You understand deals, because the only thing about deals.
Yes, because him is a deal maker.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump understands that America has lost on two fronts.
Mm.
On the military front.
Yeah.
They have pumped weapons up to $200 billion,
which
does not work.
Mm.
And on the business front, the American company.
Just hold on there for a commercial break.
Who are we, you ask? The National Road Safety Council is a statutory body established in 1996 with a legal mandate to promote and manage road safety across Namibia. We believe every accident is preventable and every life is precious. Our mission is to make our roads, vehicles and users safer based on effective road safety management. So, join our unwavering vision and commitment to zero deaths and serious injuries. Visit www.nisc.org.na to learn more. Do the right thing and save lives.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah, so from a business point of view, a business standpoint today, American companies have lost the vast Russian market. If you look at how much, you know, billions, or how many billions were lost, you know, in the haste rush out of Russia in February when companies rushed out. I can give you, for example, MasterCard, you know, credit card, this company. They have lost billions. Because they have to close, and the Russians were paying that company.
So,
a lot of companies lost, and that's why those companies are now making an attempt to come back.
Now, I want to ask now when we look at because it seems like this the most interest which these two powerful men are looking at is of their own countries, and it's like Ukraine is not really part of these negotiations because it's like Putin is saying he's still standing on his principle to say Ukraine should not join NATO, which at the end of the day, Ukraine will not gain anything from this. What is your view on Zelensky, for example? Where is he standing now?
Look, nobody really cares about Zelensky and what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Trump cares about America.
Mm-hmm.
And American interest only.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when Zelensky was pushed to start this war,
mm-hmm.
whoever pushed them to start the war cared about themselves. They never care about the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians were just tools used for a failed American project that started in 1949.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you see, Trump wants business.
Yeah, he wants. Yeah.
In fact, Trump realized that there are a lot of problems that are internal in America. That he want to focus on fixing.
Mm.
So that's why he doesn't want to have divided attention.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to focus on the internal problems that are in America. He has 6 million migrants. That are becoming an economic havoc to America. They have been shootings in America this week, and around 12 people have lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Washington, D.C. is now a problem. So he's trying to install some security apparatus to try to deal with crisis that is brewing in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So he's realizing that there are too many problems internally.
Mm. Yeah.
That's why he wants to solve the major issue, which is the Ukrainian war, which is a thorn in the American flesh, especially economically.
Mm-hmm. Now they say closed door meetings for 3 hours. Now there are things that maybe don't come out to public. There are things that maybe don't come out to public. Do you see the strengthening of relationship between U.S. and Russia from this meeting? And maybe just also maybe to a little bit to look at, was it not a risky business for Putin to come at this time, particularly when the situation is like this in the world?
No, look, those people calculate, you have to calculate your steps.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, Trump chose Alaska, because Alaska is of historical significance to both America and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Alaska was sold to America at $7 million dollars in the 18th century. And also don't forget that American independence has come because of Russia. Russia assisted America to get independence. And in fact, during the Civil War, when the British and the French wanted to intervene and to destabilize America, the Russians stood to support them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Russia fought alongside America during the First and Second World Wars. So they shared weapons and intelligence and all everything.
So in fact, even in terms of the economy, America needs Russia more than us in Africa, right?
I think I would say they both need each other.
Uh-huh.
More than we need them. Because Russia has, you know, 50% of the world's rare earth metals, which America is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So Russia also has the space technology that America, you know, wants. And if you follow very well, the sanctions did not even touch that aspect.
Mm-hmm. So they are selective.
Yes. The sanctions were very calculated, and you see, America is still buying nuclear fuel from Russia.
So
America, even during the deep sanctions, March 2022, the Americans asked the Russians, you know, to assist their cosmonauts to come out of the space.
Now, Mr. France, let us look at what can we learn from this, negotiations, particularly in terms of diplomacy, because these people are really negotiating. They are faced by situation. They are negotiating to make things happen in their own countries. Maybe from Namibian point of view, what are some of the lessons can we learn from this? Because every event, particularly that at the international level, which require politics and economy, there is always something to learn from. Maybe what are some of the two things that you think, as Namibia is a small country, what can we learn from this?
I think Namibia, we need to understand the fact that we are a small country. That's number one.
Small
economy. We also need to understand that we are vulnerable in many respects. And the only thing that can help us is our negotiation power. We need to take the example of Qatar. Qatar is very small. It's a very small country. But they have managed to focus on their economy, building their economy. They use their oil. Now they've gotten what they wanted through oil. Now they are embarking on a technological, you know, advancement journey. They know how to, they know how to negotiate business. And Trump just got out of Qatar, 2 to 3 months ago when they made a $5 trillion deal that the Trump administration even got a plane as a gift from Qatar. So we need to learn from that. If you don't have power, physical power, military might, at least you need to have, negotiative strength. So that you understand the interest of your own country.
Yeah, I want to scale that very interesting point, especially when it's coming to Namibian resources, especially Namibian oil, because one of the statements which was made by Memenangura Wanja is that, guys, when we are discussing these issues, because she made it a bit general to say, there are investors in the room and there are also Namibians, business people and also politicians to say, when we are discussing these issues, let us make sure that we think about the people who go to bed hungry. This says a lot. It also says, in most cases, we lose these boardroom negotiations when it's coming to resources. Maybe just to expand on that, look at mining is the same thing. We lost. I'll look at different areas. Maybe just to expand on that, to say, particularly in terms of oil, What can we really need to do? What can we really do to make sure that we improve our negotiation skills and also maintain our economic shares?
We can never improve our negotiation skills if we don't understand what we want. We don't understand what we want. We also don't understand how we want it and when we want it. Somebody always has to coach us into those negotiations. You need this when, you need this how. So that's the mistake that we made. In fact, we had a presidency that was very diplomatic, professional. People of the likes of the late, President Hage Geingob. But what did he do? He ended up ceding land to Botswana. More land to Botswana. Yeah, because the Geingob was focused on being politically correct.
Not getting what you.
Yes, he didn't understand the consequences of being politically correct. Because you don't need to be politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand the interest of your country.
Mm-hmm.
Because most Namibian politicians are focused on being politically correct.
Not for the interest of our country.
So in fact, they want tactical victory. And they are not strategic, because when you are tactical,
yeah,
tactical victory is a short victory.
Yeah.
A long-term victory must be strategic.
Long-term, with long-term yeah. beneficiaries also.
So it must be a long war.
Uh-huh.
When you are negotiating, it's like you are fighting. If somebody wants to win immediately, if you discover that this person wants to win immediately, you decide to drag on.
Okay, now maybe the last question, because now you have Russia, you have USA, they are rebuilding their friendship, they are rebuilding their board, and you have China on the other side, then you have India also, strong economy. Now, where is Africa standing, and what can we do, particularly at this point in time? Because now we were trying to move to, because Africa, you stated this to say, no, Africa is only to be given. But now, looking at now, we are at the center, we were trying to move to BRICS, but now seeing now Russia is also becoming powerful, and if they open up their businesses, I think things will also start to shift, because there is no stability in terms of how trades are being done and all these things. But when they open up, I think Africa will also be choose to rethink twice, because we do not have a stand yet. What do you think we need to do as Africans?
Okay, let's leave India out of this.
Okay, now. Okay.
And you see, we need to note that what is going on between Trump and America and Putin is not guaranteed friendship between Russia and America. We need to understand that the foreign policy of America does not change. It only withdraws. So what we are seeing now is a withdrawal of certain aspects in the American policy,
yeah,
or foreign policy. The American foreign policy is still intact. To defeat China and to defeat Russia. That is the American policy, and it doesn't change. No matter who comes to power, it just withdraws. So what we are seeing right now is a withdrawal, and it's not a guarantee that there will be friendship between Russia that will challenge BRICS, for example. What the sanctions have done, and this is what the Russians don't want. That's why the Russians, most of them, don't want the sanctions to go, because it has given the Russian companies an opportunity, which they did not have, you know, when Western companies were in Russia. So it has also given Russia an opportunity to look somewhere else. If I can give you a short historical event of in 2022, when the International Internet Organization was pressured to also sanction Russia and switch off their internet and so forth, and they refused to say no. We cannot do business with politics. We cannot mix business with politics. We are an international internet company. We have nothing to do with what is going on. So, but other companies were, like we're talking about Chelsea. Chelsea suffered back because when it was sold, they struggled to find feet.
It's true.
They struggled to get on their feet. So sanctions, when you are sanctioning major power, they end up biting you. If you look at what Europe is going on, Germany was the Europe industrial powerhouse. Yeah, Germany was an industrial powerhouse in Europe.
Yeah.
2022, they were the leading powerhouse industrial.
Industrialization.
In terms of industry. But the German industry has been destroyed because they are forced to buy expensive liquefied natural gas from the United States. And in fact, even the United States sale of liquefied natural gas was challenged when they made a hasty decision of sanctioning Russian oil. They had to go through backdoor to force India to buy oil in bulk from Russia so that they could sell it back to them. So it's a double-edged sword. Sanctions only work for Zimbabwe. It can only work for small countries, but not for bigger countries like China and in fact Russia. And if you remember, America lost almost $1 trillion when they started with this tariff. You know, these things with China.
So
BRICS is not threatened by
the relationship
that happened in Alaska on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
These are talks to just, you know, ease up the military fire.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, some economic fire as well, but not to the extent of threatening, you know, the relationship that China has with China has with Russia, and also, you know, BRICS countries. So Africa is at the recipient end of this whole food chain. So in fact, Africa has no ground or influence on this. Africa is only waiting for the results so that they can be either more vulnerable or more at the advantageous stage, because they have no power to influence anything since they exist at the end of the food chain.
I think that will build up to the discussion that I'm going to have now, because when you look at the report, particularly in terms of where Africa want to go, the results are still negative. To say Africa is good at planning, but there is no coherence between what is planning and also what you know is on the ground. I think it's something that we need to look internally also to see what can we do for ourselves rather than just looking outside.
Yeah, so we are good at tactics. Now, remember, the president announced that tertiary education was going to be free.
Yeah.
You see, that's tactical.
Tactical approach.
Yeah, but from a strategic point of view, when the reality hits the ground, we started talking about, you know, those people at key sector.
Yeah.
So we are going to look at the key sector.
Nah.
So, you see, we are good at tactics.
Yeah.
But we don't have strategy.
Uh-huh.
So we need to employ both tactics.
And strategies.
And strategy. So that we understand the long-term impact of what we are talking about, what we are saying.
Yes, Mr. Franz Nengera, thank you for your analysis, and thank you very much for joining us this morning and to give us a perspective, particularly in terms of the relationship between Russia and USA, and what lesson can we learn from this, and thank you once again.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes, that is Mr. Franz Nengera, geopolitical analyst, and gave us perspective about the relationship between these two powerful countries, and what lesson can we learn from these two powerful countries. What lesson can we learn, particularly the lessons of diplomacy? One of the things that he mentioned is that, you know, a country like Namibia, we must learn what you want, when, and how. And also the very important thing is that, you know, when our leaders are meeting, when you are representing our country, everybody has his own interest. That is number one. You know, America used to say, Ukraine is my greatest ally. And we are standing with Ukraine. We are standing with Ukraine. We are giving all the weapons. But when the reality hit the ground, to say we are losing more, but we also have Russia that we do not like much, but we can gain. We can gain from Russia. That's why this is not, it's a business, it's an interest to say, instead of me pumping billion of money in war, what can I do? And Trump being a business person and known to be a negotiator, because he was isolated also by the changes in this world, but being a negotiator, These are things that is happening. And one of the things that Mr. Farah have said, and it's very important, and also not only what the government should learn, and also what ourselves should learn to say, it's not good to be too tactical. It's also very good to be too strategic to say, what is the long-term impact of the decision I'm making now? What is the long-term impact of the decision I'm making now? Because we have seen, and history have taught us, and I think it's also time for us to learn, not only as a citizen and also as leaders. Because if I stand up and I take a platform and say, vote for me, I'm going to give you tanks of oil and milk and all these things. You may vote for me because you think I'm going to do this. But how am I going to do it? Where am I going to get funds? Where am I going to get money? And there's a difference between a political statement. That's why we are always trying to look at the relationship between political communication and also what is happening on the ground. And just before we go to the conversation for today, look at, I was reading at the speech of our president. I look at the speech of the president of Botswana and also the speech of other head of state, particularly at SANDEC summit. And one thing that you need to look at, is the challenges of African countries. There is commonalities on the challenges of the country. And we are caught, and when you just read and you compare the speeches of those presidents to say, the point, the center of those discussions is to say Africa is faced with these problems. Everybody's talking about youth unemployment. Everybody's talking about economic integration. Everybody's talking about value addition. But what is everybody doing? That is the question. What is everybody doing? And looking at, for example, before we go to the discussion for today, because today we are looking at the recent African Peer Review Mechanism report on coherence of policy. If there is there is coherence of policies and implementation in Namibia and also in other African countries, if policies are in line with what is being implemented. Before we go there, one of the things that we need to know is also that go back and look other reports, the previous ones, to say, okay, let's take a caller. Hello?
Mr. David Sobe.
Yes, good morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, sir.
I'm well.
Fine, thank you for the presentation from Tate Fran. Yourself.
Yeah.
And this question that you posed to him.
Yes.
Yes, it's true. In terms of negotiation, it's very, very, very important.
Mm.
But I think we have more, many complex negotiations where you bring more parts together.
Yes.
And that facilitation were really successful. You know, for you to facilitate a conversation that really bring, let's say, about I don't know how many powers.
Yeah.
So, for example, the negotiation that the late president, the Hage Geingob, had.
Yeah.
That is so rest in peace.
Yeah.
You have this, the West. You have all these parties.
Yeah.
Especially the Western powers.
Yeah.
They're all in that complex. You add the South African, all those parties that were together there. And they were able to strike at least a win-win situation.
Which is?
Not even a win situation. In fact, they just got the independence of Namibia, for example.
Yeah.
And if you follow the negotiation that started many, many years ago, and then you came to the final one, that presided to the independence of our independence.
I think that
those are very, very complex kind of platforms.
Yeah.
Where one can really negotiate, especially when you are labeled as a terrorist and all these other things. But you are able to convince them.
Okay, were we able to negotiate in terms of what we want? Because Mr. France indicated to say, we are too tactical, because when people left this country to go and fight, they went to fight for the liberation of the country. And at the center of that liberation, at the center of that liberation is economy. And the center of that economy is land. Did we get what we want? Did the project of liberation achieved?
We got the liberation, we got the independence, political independence. We also have, you might not have the...
Don't say you might not have, because the reason you went there, you said people are in our land, they are taking our resources, they are taking our diamond and copper. That is how people were singing, even when they exited to see.
Even because we look at the country that got their independence.
Let's look. Okay.
I'm answering your question.
Okay.
So what we are saying is that, yes, we got the independence.
Yeah.
We got all these freedom, rights and freedoms, you know very well, that were not there, that were denied by the Namibian people.
Yeah.
Of course, the leaders of apartheid, in terms of an equal distribution of resources and all this sector of production, they are still, you know, it's already there.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is that on the part of the negotiation, because it's only that the negotiation should bring you, the negotiation should just open a door for you for many, many avenues to fight, like economic fight now that we are engaging in.
Yeah.
And many, many others.
Yeah.
So if those platforms were created, you were now to build upon there and make sure that the way it was not, for example, achieved. You still have to rectify and amend issues and make sure that people have access to land.
Yeah.
Make sure that you have. So it is for us now to negotiate more and now become tactical. So you know, tactic is a strategy that you use in negotiation. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, if the Trump can be able to do that, convincing only few people, because in his own cycle, he only bring few. Because many people confuse matters. That's why our negotiation could take so long. This other one. And Dr. Hagen was able to break that through, my friend. And many others.
No, we appreciate the negotiation skills and also the time, and we are not fighting. The thing that the point of argument here is to say, what lesson can we learn from this, particularly Namibia? What lesson can we learn from this? Because bigger countries, they negotiate for more than political freedom. Because when you look at, if we just have to be honest now, when you look at,
political freedom is number one.
Yeah, it's number one.
Number one pillar.
It's number one.
If you win that one, then you can now bring in all the aspects of life.
Yeah, all the aspects of life. When you look at where we are as a country now in the world, do you know how many countries are in the world? Let me, even just looking at in Africa, we are the second highest unequal nation in terms of the economy.
Do you know why it came? Why? Do you know the reason why?
Why?
Oh, it's so simple. You just go to your preamble and then you see.
Let's go to a commercial break, then we can.
Are you eligible to vote but not yet a registered voter? Your time is now. Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all qualified citizens to take part in the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. These include those who turned 18 years after the previous registration of voters, all eligible Namibian citizens who are not yet in possession of a valid voter's card, citizens who have changed residence from one constituency or local authority to a different constituency or local authority. Democracy is not a spectator sport, it's all about taking part. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitution.
Yes?
Yes. So let me not take too long. I will conclude very soon, but you did ask a question.
Yeah.
About the political independence and things like that.
Yeah.
And you mean you ask now Namibia is second.
Yeah.
In terms of unequal resource distribution and all these things. And the first one I think is South Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, it's South Africa.
And then why do you think South Africa and Namibia are in that category?
No, I'm asking this question, and the answer which I want, I also want the answer which include things that we did not do right, because it can be things that we did not do right, and also we can say about apartheid, but there are things that we did not do right that we need to work on.
I will start from the colonial.
Colonial will never be out of the picture.
We come to apartheid. There are two systems.
Yeah.
Colonialism, then the apartheid system. And you all know very well that most everyone here in Namibia, the indigenous, our indigenous law, our indigenous work, everything was possessed from the Namibian people. Including their land.
Mm.
So now all those laws, whether the legal system, framework, and all these things, we're only working in favor of, colored, and white, and all these things, the people, in the race.
Yeah.
And then we now have those kinds of, all these discriminatory laws. All of them. Everything that you can think of. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So now, all those things, when the independence came now, like we were saying in negotiation.
Yeah.
So, the whole area of life, all around. So now, the reason why, I'm not saying that should just be the reason. Oh, no.
Yeah.
There are so many things, areas, that we as Namibians need to be more patriotic and improve and work on.
Yeah, that now you are a good negotiator. We are on the same table now. You are on the same table.
So those areas where we need to have improvement. You always hear those things. You know, the people are always talking here. Give us the research and development, that part, that tech component that we were talking about.
Yeah.
So that we then see what are the real needs there in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Go and facilitate those conversations with the people and tell you that, no, this is what we need. Mm. We need water, we need this, we need solar, and everywhere. And you know, I run around.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
In the country now, almost every area.
Okay.
And wherever you go, people are talking about. So please, you on this side of the legal issues, amend those things. See the key things that are not affecting us. All these things, there is a lot. But I'm concluding that, yes, there are a lot of room to improve and all these things.
Yeah.
That's why, but then our negotiation skills, we must thank God for Trump, okay?
Yeah.
I wonder why people are saying he's a global peace winner. Let him be so. Because that's why he could not even, just look at least the people are still being killed in the world.
Yeah.
But his efforts is commendable.
He's a business guy. He's a business guy. And I think we need the business-minded people also to...
Why they are there? Why entrepreneurs? We are always talking about entrepreneurship spirit here.
Entrepreneurs are
the one to create wealth through other people.
Yeah.
By utilizing the factor of production. The factor of production are in the hands of this thing, and they are still there, and the people do not want. You see, do you have to go to school and learn how to become an entrepreneur? Everybody can become an entrepreneur. Maybe you just need to facilitate some of this program that you are talking about. How do we then utilize the things? Because people are still living. Sometimes they are still sitting idle in the community there. So can't you then you become an entrepreneur or those entrepreneurs that are already existing go in the community and gather them and organize them, utilize them, get some funding. So thank you very much, my brother.
Yes, thank you, uncle. Thank you for your time your contribution. Yes, that is a conversation. That's a conversation on the table. And it's always very important. You can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401, 083-288-401. So it's an aspect of development. You look at the speech of our president at the Sandek Summit. You look at the speech of the president of Botswana. You look at other state leaders. You see, you try to make a case study analysis to say, what are some of the things that our head of states are saying? What are some of the things which our previous head of states, said and those who came before them. Because it's very interesting also to check the pattern. Because if you just go deep and look at, let's go until, Tatepoamba that time. When he was addressing Sandek, what are some of the things that he mentioned? What are some of the immediate things that he mentioned? Go and look at those speeches. Look at the late Dr. Genkop. May his soul rest in peace. What are some of the things that he looked at when he was Sandek? Apart from the immediate which happened those days. Look at what our president is saying. What is the difference? What is the similarities? What happened? What happened? How many of our presidents spoke about the mineral beneficiation, adding value to our natural resources, adding value or stop selling raw materials? How many of them spoke about it? And what did we do about it? What is the progress from those years to where we are? How many of them spoke about youth unemployment? And what is the progress from there to where we are? What are some of the interventions? And how many of them spoke about, getting control of our natural resources? And what is the progress from them? And what is guaranteeing you that there is going to be progress after a very good, beautiful speech? Continental, well written. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are going to look at the recent report by African Peer Review Mechanism, particularly the report which is looking at the assessment of policy coherence. Policy coherence is just looking at are the policies in those countries in line with the continental developmental agenda, and are they implementable? Do the people in that country understand where the country is going? Do they understand the vision of that country? Are the people in that country understand what is African Agenda 2063? Do they understand sustainable developmental goals? Do they understand that there are goals that by 2030 there will be no hunger? And what is being done to reach those goals? What is the progress? Do they understand what SDG is? And this report is also based on the assessment which was done to say, is there a relationship between the government, the private sector, the civil society organization, NGOs, faith-based organizations, the think tanks, and also academia? Do we have a relationship, particularly in terms of policy development? Because it's very important, because a policy is not only done by those who are wearing suit. It's not only from parliament. It's not only from parliament. But it touches everybody. Are we part of those, those policy making and development? That is what the assessment is trying to look at. And the other thing is also that, are the policies that are made based on data? Are the policies that are made based on data, and what the government have to do? And it's not only in Namibia. Studies done in Ghana, done in South Africa, and it's also done in Kenya. But for us to look at this, it's also very important also to see and read what is said about Namibia. And if our leaders, and also not only our leaders, but everybody understand what is happening in our country, and what can we do moving forward? Because it's from our understanding that we will be able also to bring about some changes or to do different things. And it's also very important also once more to look at what did African Peer Review Mechanism said in 2022 about Namibia. Did we change about that? Did we change anything? So let's go to a commercial break. Then we'll look briefly at the assessment of policy coherence in terms of accelerating sustainable developmental goal in Agenda 2063 in Africa, the case study of Namibia. and where we are, where are we standing, and what is our strength? Because it's not only about problems. Namibia do not only have problems. There are also strength, things that we are doing very well, things that we are good at, and what we are known to be. And where can we improve? What is important about improvement? So yeah, let's look at the commercial break, then we move forward.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We have around 32 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. And as I indicated earlier, it's an assessment on policy coherence. If Namibia is in line with continental goals, global goals, and if the people understand where the country is facing, and if the policies that are being made in Namibia are implemented. It's a study done by African Peer Review Mechanism. It's an initiative of African Union to look at an assessment of how government are working and also where we can improve. And in the case study of Namibia, it started with looking at the economic landscape of Namibia. That is already something that, you know, we know to say, the mining sector and diamond sector and uranium are the main contributor of the GDP. You look at agriculture. And they also look at some of the challenges to say what is Namibia is facing. Unemployment remain a crucial issue, particularly among youth, which is, you know, with the rate of exceeded 30%. And, still the economy heavily depend on extraction of, you know, extraction or extraction, industry. And the country is vulnerable. It's indicated that the country is vulnerable because if you only depend on extraction industry, as it's stated, you know, the country is vulnerable to global, you know, commodity prices. To say no, Namibia is still vulnerable. Our trading depends more on the price in international affairs. We don't have any influence based on the fact that we only trade still on raw materials. And that is what the report has to say. Now, they also give a framework to say Namibia have developed an integrated approach in both Agenda 2063 and also Agenda 2030, and is being used in policy making. When you look at the other time, I was reading at Youth Policy, Namibia Youth Policy 1 and 2. And when I was reading it, I stated here to say, no, the policy started very well to say, no, we look at SDG, we look at African Continental, African Agenda 2063, African Continental Free Trade Area, and the issues of youth at times in Namibia. You see, these are draft content in the draft of a National Youth Policy. To say no, Namibia included in their policy making The question is that, do people understand that these things are included? Or what do they mean? Ask an ordinary person what is Agenda 2063? What is SDG Agenda 2030? And Namibia was also praised on its policy by this report, especially when it's coming to Harambe Prosperity Plan and also Vision 2030. Then let us look at what is the report saying about Namibia's strength. It stated that Namibia has a very strong political commitment and also in aligning national policies with SDG. And the other thing is also that the framework for MNE mechanism needs some improvement. But it's also mentioned the National Planning Commission of Namibia, which is, is trying to coordinate efforts of government, ministry, and local government toward cohesive policy implementation. That is one of the some of the strengths that we mentioned. But there is weakness in policy cohesion. If Namibian policies are well coordinated, and are they addressing the needs of the people? To say this, the weakness which was stated by the report is that despite strong political commitment, policy implementation in Namibia remain weak due to fragmented efforts and inefficiency of government action. They say, although we have political commitment, although we really want to do it from a political front, policy implementation is still a challenge due to fragmented efforts. Fragmented efforts, in simple words, divided efforts. It's divided efforts. People are in office and they do not know what they are doing. People are attending a project. We have a ministry with duplication of work. We have a ministry doing almost the same thing. And one of the things that a lot of people we fail to understand is to say, do we have well-coordinated institutions? Because one of the arguments which is brought about, particularly in trade relations, is the issue, and it's still not yet sorted. It's still not yet sorted. I think it will be sorted in the future. Because beforehand, international relations had used to have trade attaché. An economist or a specialist in trade relations who is attached to a certain embassy, and his or her job was mainly on facilitating trade and also looking at getting investment for the country. Then it's changed. Then you have a ministry of you have Ministry of Trade and Industrialization before. And on top of that, you have Namibia Trade Forum. Then you have Namibia Investment and Promotion Development Board. People have different views about Namibia Investment Promotion Development Board. To say, no, it's doing the same work as the Ministry of Trade. It's duplication of duty. It's a bit powerful compared to the Ministry of Trade, and they are not working together and all these things. And most of these things are the ones which are being spoken about here, to say there's duplication of efforts. Imagine now if an investor come into the country, who do you think you want to talk to? Yes, they go to the board. But the board is not under the ministry, it's under the presidency again. Then you have a Minister of Trade. That's why now you see our president, I think she has also seen this, to say, no, I'm going to integrate this institution. It was a bit different. Imagine we have a delegation outside the country to look for investors. Who is you? A minister of trade will be like, it's not useful because we have already a board which is there, which was actually created with a good intention. But do we have well coordinated institutions to deal with what we need? And now, the report also saying one of the weaknesses is that Agenda 2063 is poorly known, which limit integration into national policy. Because if you have somebody who studied trade or economics from University of Columbia, then become a trade analyst or become an advisor or become a senior technocrat within the government and in charge of policy planning, policy planning and drafting, these people do not really care or do not know or do not see the interest of knowing Agenda 2063, and they'll do their own thing. That's why it's indicated to say African Agenda 2063 is not known. Yes, hello?
Sorry, while we are there, just briefly, while we are there, and that integration.
Yeah.
That integration in the graded system, management system.
Mm.
So, we have been, people have been speaking about that thing.
About
so, it's a good thing, yeah, because it's a very good thing because it avoids a lot of duplication that you are talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of resource wastage.
Mm.
Because you are duplicating your effort, your energy, and things like that.
And those, those are people lose power. Imagine if, imagine if I'm a minister of trade and you are the head of investment board and you are even sitting at the presidency, by the time I come there, I'm a bit far and you have more power than a minister, and people don't want to speak about this thing.
Yeah, correct.
And my work is limited.
You just have to redeploy when you are integrating all these activities, say into one system. If you have a data system that is integrated, and there are people have been talking about that thing, so where you go to police or stop. You see, it's not that much that you. Don't worry about the configuration of powers and all these things.
No, but power.
Okay. I understand it.
Okay.
So even the registration that's there.
Yeah.
All these things. If you know that you want to integrate, because you really want to cut costs and unwasted things and all this. Wasting of time and implementation of issues. Sometimes you have those ministries that are actually doing the same thing.
So
you can integrate them. If you are afraid of the minister, most of the ministers, they might also want to, but you have those young ones, you can deploy, create some kind of entity within, division within that system, and make sure that you work. So because otherwise, now this one is doing this, you are also doing it.
And somebody is
NGO who are in the community.
Yeah.
So instead of now integrating your system and make sure that you join effort together.
Yeah.
Now everybody is doing it on his own corner there.
And NGOs are also also complaining. Apparently, they are not included in policy making.
You know, my brother.
Yeah.
You know, when we organize some of these meetings.
Yeah.
So we have got the Minister of Gender has got what they call a national gender mechanism. I mean coordination, national coordination mechanism. So that brings all the line ministry, all the states together, all those people together to address this gender issues and all this incoming, whatever you talk about.
But with gender, so, you did well.
So now that's coordination.
Yes.
And there are many, many other documents. Ours might not be the best. But all we are saying is that the NGO, we used to invite them through this NAMGOV. Now they have got another organization that is the umbrella. And they are also scattered. They are not coordinated properly.
No, they I support you. You have a very good point there.
So now, if you now, let's say now, there are many, and you don't know. I used to drop letters from their houses. This is Namaste, this is where, and you look for them. You know?
Don't mention names.
These are the ones who are doing, who are always part of our system. And they are always available.
Yeah, I think they
there will. Are those ones who are not available. I'm just giving an example of how difficult, how complex it is to coordinate themselves.
Yeah.
So now, if you have got an umbrella, Nangov.
Yeah.
Nangov is no longer there.
Yeah.
There's a new name there. That's there.
Yeah, there is Civic Press 2. What? I think they have an umbrella, and there's also another one which came in, so that I cannot get the name well, but you are right, there's a new umbrella. And the thing that you mentioned is very important to say, is Namibia CSO, they are also not well organized. That is the thing also. They are also not having their house in order.
So now, how do we invite you?
Yeah, no, because it's not a thing to a government directory, but it's also to say, what can we do as Namibians? Because when you look at civil society, there's also a bit of politics there. And when we talk to them, no, they are politicians. People go to politicians, most of the time they go to civil society.
When they come to the platform, now, if somebody come to the platform.
It's a political debate. It's true. No, I know this thing. I know. But yeah, thank you,
now you create a platform for the president to be inserted. Okay, thank you.
All right. Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at the report by African Peer Review Mechanism on policy coherence to say, do we have coherence in terms of policy? Do we understand what is Agenda 2063? Is what is being said or what is being done? And are these governments that in this study or in these examples of case studies have well-coordinated institutions? What are the institution of governments doing? What are the challenges with these countries are facing, and how do they address the challenges which they have? And one of the things which was stated is to say there is fragmentations. In terms of coordinating government efforts and coordination across different government levels and sectors, often lacking, leading to role duplication and inefficiency. I don't want to talk about the Minister of Youth, I don't talk about youth institutions, but you know what I mean. When you talk about duplication of duties, when you talk about inefficiency, when you talk about, ask yourself this. Why do you think every month there is always a fight in about SOE and government? Somebody saying, no, I'm not reporting to you. Somebody saying, I'm only accountable to the board. Somebody saying, no, the board can only do this. Why do you think we have that? Why do you think the Attorney General can say something, a cabinet can say something, then the board of a certain SOE can say something? But they want certain solutions. In terms of duplication or uncoordinated duties, why do you think a Minister of Justice, a whole Minister of Justice, I know it's a normal thing, but it's losing a case on labor issue about a certain employee who did a certain thing. Why do you think is that? You need to ask yourself these questions. And why do you think state is losing money due to a lot of cases against it based on incoherence of policies, loopholes in the system. And the other day I was asking myself, are we really going to get out of this greatest thing? If our central bank just lost a case against a certain military general from DRC. Just those simple things. You know something is not... they did what is right, but in terms of the responsibility of who did it. And I also do not know, because I was never in government before. When you look at people going to a summit, for example, summit of climate, you have Minister of Environment, for example, Minister of Agriculture is there, then you have Minister of Trade, international relations, you'll find investment bodies there. Then based any depends on the content of that summit. One has to be the head of delegation. And looking at the roles which these people have, and also looking at the situation that is on the ground. Maybe, or it could be that our 8th administration will really solve these problems. When you look at the trimming of ministries, it was one of the well-praised moves. Integration of institutions is one of the well-praised moves. And also, looking at where are the loopholes? Where are the loopholes in the system? Because this is what is being said, to say there is uncoordinated institutions. Everyone is doing his own thing. The Minister of Justice is saying this about land. The Minister of Agriculture is saying this about land. I'm in charge of doing this. And at the end of the day, people are still complaining, to say no. When people went to the liberation struggle, they say we want land, we want economic resources, we want Namibia back with diamond and copper. Inoka Wenongopor. That's where the comrades have been singing about. When they come back, where is the copper? Ask them to say, no, you went to fight, now you came back, you said you were a victor. Where is the copper? We want to see it now. Where is it? Where is the diamond? How many shares do we have? But now, what can we do better? That, let's take that out now. What can we do better looking at the future? Because the future is what is very important. We can blame each other and fight all days, but the future is what is very important. And the recommendation here, is stakeholder engagement should involve civil society, private sector, academia, to make more meaningful policy development processes. I've been talking about the new curriculum in our education, particularly the basic education. When people are talking about there must be stakeholders engagement, why do you think UNAM rejected people who completed just grade 11? Why do you think UNAM rejected them? If UNAM is an SOE, it's a government institution, then the Ministry of Basic Education is also is government. You think the minister did not speak to UNAM or what? Why do you think is that? Because before you come up with a curriculum, before you come up with a curriculum, you have to speak to people, with people around you, with people that are within your sector. Because the people who were in trouble are the parents, who say, no, Mike, you said this is your new curriculum. If a kid go until grade 11, got this point, can go to a university. You know, I say, no, I didn't know. I'm not part of that. That is what we call uncoordinated policy, uncoordinated policy, coherency. And also, poor engagement of stakeholders. If you are within the trade, know who all your trade stakeholders are. If you are within entrepreneurship, if you are within gender equality and development, know all who are your stakeholders, all the institutions. If you are in media, know who are the stakeholders of media. If you are in fintech, if you are in financial services, know all the stakeholders. From government, private sector, academia, and NGOs. Because this is what the results are saying about us. How we do, what we do about it, is depends on us. What we do about it, what we do with them, I mean, it depends on us. Because this thing has been spoken about, to say, no, guys, coordinate your institutions, put your house in order. Maybe you are going to change in the future. And the other thing also is, the other thing which was mentioned is enhancing of data sharing mechanism and establish of centralized responsible repositories to support MNE and evidence-based policymaking. MNE is one of the most important things to say. You said you were going to do what, or you are going to do what in the next 5 years. And after 5 years, you only did this. What is the problem? If you ever sit down and say, no, let us sit down and look at what NDP5 did. Let us sit down and see what Harambe Prosperity Plan 1 and 2 did. And let us discuss what were some of the challenges. We had this target. How much did we achieve? Is it 60%? Is it 20%? Is it 1? Or can we look at per year to say, what did we do within a year? And it's more easier if you evaluate per year to say, per year, where did we go? Because after a certain policy lapse, we'd go to another one, we move forward and things are not changing. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Airy Morning Scoop. We have around 8 minutes. You can still speak with us. You can still give your question. You can still give your question at 083-288-401. So, we are still looking at the report. And the other thing is also that when the report is also indicating that we also do not know what this Agenda 2063 is. When we don't read, how are we going to know where we are going? It's a must that our policymakers must read widely. They must be leaders and readers. They must be able to read. Not only for the sake of preparing for a debate or for the sake of preparing for a speech, read intensively, then you know what people are saying. Because when you are going to make those laws, you know, don't just say, I'm going to speak for the people. Because, you know, there's a lot of vague political statement to say, no, vote for me, I'm going to bring change. What change are you going to bring? How are you going to bring them? No, I'm going to speak for you. Do you think we do not have a mouth? Yes, we do have mouth, but we want you to speak for us in things that are making sense, in things that are assisting us. Because everybody can speak, but no, I'm going to speak for you. Yes, you're going to speak for us, but do you understand the responsibilities that we have? You understand the responsibilities that we have? And you understand what the recent reports, and these are things that you have to speak about. So, these are some of the things that we need to work on. We have around 6 minutes, and today we are looking at African PR Review Mechanism report on Namibia, particularly on policy coherence. Our policy in line with what we want, our policy in line with continental agenda, and how is the government doing? How are our institutions? Civil society. Are the Namibia civil society organized? Are the think tanks organized? Are the Namibia civil society organized, or is there a competition? Because nobody is immune to scrutiny. Because it could be that the government is doing something right and the civil society is on the other side. Is civil society an organized area, or is just a political battle again? Because if civil society cannot manage itself, then that is a collapse of the society. Because that was supposed to be the last line of defense. That was supposed to be the last line of defense. So, just before we come to the end, and I'm going to give you this information for free. Documents that you need to look at, that you need at least to look at and read. Because African peer review mechanism, is a very important institution. There's a lot of researchers, African researchers, and also thinkers. And they are doing their best also to bring about this. And, And I think a research must also be done to see if the recommendation of African peer review mechanisms are looked into, or is a wasting of resources. Make sure that every report that is coming out from African peer review mechanism, at least you read one or two, compare them and look what have been done. Read African Agenda 2063. What is it saying? What are the SDG Agenda 2030? What are they saying? Where are we standing? Where are we standing in terms of gender equality, in terms of quality education, in terms of zero hunger, in terms of climate resilience? Where are we standing? So, because when you read that, when you read that, it's easier for you to look inward to see if something is done. Because policy has been always an issue in Namibia, to say, no, there's this policy that we need to be done. Okay, now you are making a policy or you are reviewing a policy, but are you in line? Because when you are going to African Development Bank, then you say, no, I want $75 million dollars for this developmental project from African Development Bank. The first thing they look at is to say, are you in line with SDGs? Are you in line with African Agenda 2063? Are your institutions well coordinated? So, and when you are in line, it's more easier now for you to look ahead. It's more easier now for you to get this developmental project. Ask yourself this question. How many times we have been talking about, let's add value to our minerals. How many minerals did we add value to? And what are we doing about it? So that the French say we are tactical. We are not strategic. We want a victory for today, but not a victory for not a long-term victory. So today, when you are going to work, when you are going home, when you are going to your working station, it's always very important to think about this thing, because it's not only a report of research and giving data, it's also a report of saying, where is the country going? And what are the people going through? Because the world is looking at us. Because our leaders they are going outside and they are talking about our problems, which is important. But what are we doing about these problems at home? We are too few to be poor. Let's see after 5 years. But the question also is this, to say, what am I doing also as an ordinary person? Because it's not only about what the government can do for you, as it has been already said. Say, what can you also do for your country? Do you also update yourself and read and also partake in different activities? Because you must always be somewhere. If you are not in government, you must be private sector. If you are not there, you must be in NGO. You must be somewhere.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills,
feeding the nation. Great. Yes. I'll leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri with Unpacking the Day. Then I think it's the time to give the mic to Mike so that he can take you through what he has in Unpacking the Day. So stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.